Isaiah 55:7. We read it before worship, but we're going to look deeper into it. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is asking us this morning, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Not right this minute, but in your life. What do you think about all day, every day? What are your thoughts? What are your plans? What kind of ideas go through your head? God wants to know what you're thinking about. Psalm 92:5 says, O Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. God's intentions, his ideas, his plans, they're really, really deep. You know, have you ever met a deep thinker? Man, I'm a little bit more of a deep, I'm not near as deep as God, but I'm deeper in thinking. My husband is a very, very simple, I don't mean in retarded, he's got a genius IQ, so how do I say this? But he takes things very, very black and white, you know. I take them off into, if you scraped off that black, you might find white, you know. I have to analyze it, go deeper. I grew up with parents that worked in a mental hospital, you know, and I was always analyzing the patients and trying to cure them, you know. And my brain just goes way far ahead. Harvey looks at things and he deals with what's in front of him today. And I have prophetic gifting. Prophets, God gives them revelation of things that are coming. But it's still a limited revelation. So when we start thinking up an idea, like you want to create something, or you want to start a business, or you want to paint a picture, something you want to do, we get an idea. Guys, maybe you want to build a house. We get an idea and we try to start planning. Do you ever start planning and then run into a brick wall? You plan so far and then you just don't know what comes after that. God doesn't have brick walls.
Right.
His thoughts are eternal.
Right.
When he gets an idea, that idea goes so far into the details and completion of the plan, it's way beyond our concept. We can't even begin to understand it. I've got ideas before. My daughter and I got an idea to create that Eat to Win game just for her son. Our first thought, my daughter's first thought was, her son couldn't get on a football team because he was too fat. They let him on the team, but they put an X on his helmet, which meant he was one that never really got to play because he was overweight. So she got a great idea. She went out and got a little wallet. She asked me to do the artwork to create money, fake money. And then she came up with a whole plan. He had to buy his food with his fake money. Healthy food costs less. Fattening food costs more. Well, he's money-minded, and he didn't want to spend like $250 for French fries at McDonald's. So he would spend $50 of his money for apples. So he began thinking in healthy ways because he's spending this fake money that was real cute with funny characters on it, you know, and he carried it around in his wallet. And whenever he bought food, he had to put that in the back part of the wallet. And if he saved money when he got to a certain amount in his savings, Mom got him a big toy for a reward. He lost weight, he got healthier, and he got prizes. It was a great idea. Now, she followed that thought through to the point of buying the wallet, creating the money, coming up with a plan. She had a lot of thought to develop that plan. It worked for her son, but that was as far as her plan could go. That was as far as her plan could go. She couldn't think beyond that. She had no ability to carry that plan further. But she met up with an ex-boss of hers who had a lot of money. And she shared the idea with him. He is now our backer to the tune of about $225,000 that he has backed her idea with. So now we've sold thousands of games. She's off in some other, where is she, Los Angeles today? She's all over the country at seminars and conventions showing the game to teachers and doctors and parents and toy companies. And why? Because this man had the money and the power to back her little idea. Well, God has the intelligence. God can see in the future. God has a plan. And God has the power to back his own plans. He has all the power to back his own plans. We come up with little ideas and we follow him so far and we hit a brick wall. We need a backer. But we don't really need a backer, because then he would be backing our ideas and plans. What we really need is to come in unity with his ideas and plans. And there is no limit to what God can do with your life when you give it to him. When you give your life to him, no holds barred, no restraint, and you get in on his plan that he created you for, you would be amazed. He that loses his life shall find his life. You lose the life in this world, and you find the life God has for you. You find who you are in God, in that relationship. And through that, he transforms you, and you begin to release God in you together into what he created you to do. Now, that's why we don't want our thoughts. Our thoughts are here based on emotions, circumstances, logic, all sorts of things. Our wants, what we like, what we don't like, what we think we want. And then we get it, find out we don't want. God's plans are, his ways are higher.
Right.
And his thoughts are deeper. Yep. Why would we use our own when he designed us with purpose and he's our creator? So we need to let go of our thoughts and follow his. Psalm 94:11 said, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man, they are vanity." Well, now we heard God's ways are higher, eternal for billions of years. God's thoughts are deep, intelligent, meaningful, purposeful, and powerful. And then what does he say about our thoughts? They are vanity. It means they're just nothing. They're nothing. What do we think about? What do we think about? Oh, I've got to pay my rent. I've got to pay the house payment. How am I going to get more money? The house isn't going into eternity with you. What am I going to wear? Nothing. When you hit the grave, you get one more outfit and that's it. Anybody ever watch Monk? That TV show? Monk? It was a really cool show. Guy had a closet full of the same outfits, the same white shirt and the same suit. He wore the same thing. I mean, he changed clothes and got clean, but it looked just like yesterday. What a headache we would get rid of, ladies. Let's all just get black shirts, black jackets, black pants or jeans, and a bunch of them, and we don't have to worry about that anymore. That's not really our desire, is it? I love color. I don't wear a lot of it. You know, if I was skinny, I'd wear more. I paint with color. I wear black. But we think about, I have to do this. I have to do it this way. Everybody does it this way. We have a lot of homeschoolers. And homeschoolers discover your children need individual schooling in certain areas. Maybe they excel beyond the class and the class boredom. Maybe they're a little behind the class in that subject and you need to slow down for them. A good teacher, I hope if any of you have kids in public schools, you were blessed with a good teacher. Some years you get one, some years you don't. But a good teacher will see those differences and she will try to give that attention to individuals. But every person is individual. Everyone does not need to be great in language, in grammar. I have a son who's very intelligent. He can do the higher math. He works for Chrysler in computers. First year in college, he failed English with like a 55 or something. The second year in college, he failed English with a 69. He said, "Mom, I failed it with a higher grade this year." He's brilliant in math. He's stupid in English. So God didn't create him to write books or to be a classroom teacher. He created him for technology, and he's brilliant with that. So God has each person created for a different purpose, and you are created perfect for what he wants you to do.
Right.
You're not created perfect for what your neighbor's doing, and when we compare ourselves to the neighbor and go, but this is what everybody knows, and this is what everybody does, and this is socially acceptable, it doesn't matter. When I was teaching in a Christian school, I was teaching by a man with a master's degree, brilliant, intelligent. I mean, he made the teachers embarrassed. Every day we ate lunch, he would embarrass us that he knew so much, and we didn't even know what he was talking about. He was so smart. But in the classroom, he had no rapport with the students. He didn't know how to teach. See, he had intelligence, but he didn't have the gift to teach. Now, if God has gifted you as a teacher, people can receive from you. There's a gifting. There's an anointing of God in that. So if you don't give in to that and you decide you want to go over here and make a lot of money doing something different, you'll never be happy. Money won't make you happy. The things we think about every day, all day, what are they? Are they God's ways? Are they our ways? Are they God thoughts? Are they our thoughts? We need to yield our thoughts. God said, return to me. Let me pardon you for taking your own life and running the wrong way. Let me pardon you for that. Just get back in oneness with me and let me show you where I want to take your life. You will love it. Sometimes you think you will hate it. But once you give in to it, you love it.
Right.
You know, when he comes, he hides himself in a cloud. He does that so that he doesn't kill us with the brightness of his holy glory, because we're not ready for that. There are so many things beyond our concept. This world, this whole entire creation of earth, every person ever created on it, everything that ever did or will happen on it until the end of it, and there will be an end of it, all of that is one little teeny weeny thought in the greater plan of God for all eternity. But it's our whole consuming life. But we are eternal. We belong out there in that billion years, and we're going there. What we do here is simply for our transformation. It's for building the character of God. It's for making our eternal choice to be a part of what God's doing, or to be left out of that and join the devil with his eternal choice.
Amen.
God's ways are so high, we can't even conceive. Eye has not seen, and mind has never thought of it, and I don't remember how to quote it, the things God has prepared for those who love him. He has such awesome things prepared for us. But we have to think in eternity, not in earth. God is good. He loves us. He's for us. When we are walking in his ways, with everything surrendered to him, when we confess our attitudes and we forgive one another and we walk with God and seek him, then this is what happens. Once we lay down our life and we find our life in God, he said, for as the rain, verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and it returns not thither, but it waters the earth and it makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know, when God sends rain, he waters the seeds and he grows food and he takes care of the earth. And this is how he compares his word in verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. When God is leading your life, when you're allowing his ways and his thoughts to lead your life, his word comes alive in you. His word comes alive to you. And his word will prosper. It will come inside of you. If you let it water those thoughts in you, then things will grow and blossom and bud in your life. For you shall go out, verse 12, with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands, and instead of the thorn will come up a fir tree, and instead of briars will come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. When we are positioned where God wants us to be, and we are yielded to his ways, we have joy. We have peace.
Right.
The minute you come into oneness with God, peace floods you. Joy floods you. Even in a bad situation. Even if you're sitting in jail. Even if they're chopping your head off in the end days, you know, when you're making your stand for Christ, there'll be a joy and a peace inside of you. There won't be any fear. We follow our thoughts, and where do we end up? Stress, worry, fear, problems, anger, bitterness. I don't know how anybody lives in this world without God.
Right.
I don't know how anyone can live in this world without God. The things that can worry you every day of your life. The things that start happening to your body when you get old and you go, oh God, what's going to happen? They're going to end up putting me in one of those nursing homes, and sometimes nursing homes abuse the people and kids go away and they'll visit you. Or, you know, it's even worse, they're going to put me in my kid's home. And then I have my own sons and daughters bathing me. I'm modest. I want my kids bathing me. What's going to happen when I can't see anymore? What's going to happen? We could worry and worry and worry. What's going to happen if I can't pay my rent? What would happen if I couldn't buy gas? So I got a car, but now there's no more gasoline. How would I go anywhere? We could worry ourselves to death without God. But with God, we could sit in a dark cave with no food and know that He can sustain us.
Right.
We could know. We've been on the mission field. We've been in a house where we packed everything we owned on a school bus, took a couple of our kids, took a couple of girls whose mom died. One of them had a baby. We took them and went down to Texas with no money. And we started a church with no money. We called it nickel offerings. Everybody in town was poor. There was no one that could put anything in the plate. We went to bed at night and we prayed, God, we need milk for this baby. And we need about $20 worth of food for tomorrow. We forgot to even pray. We were so busy today. What are we going to do? We went to sleep, left it in His hands. We woke up in the morning, there was a grocery bag on our door with a gallon of milk and a $20 bill. We have seen what God does when you're living His plan for your life.
Right.
We've seen it. We've seen it when we had no food left but a little bit of flour, maybe a can of beans, just, you know, teeny weeny little staples, but nothing to really make a meal. Our son-in-law was visiting, and he wasn't our son-in-law yet, and he went around and he met some people and they said, we have no food. He said, oh, go to the church, they'll give you some. He just got there, he didn't know we didn't have any. So they came to the church and we said, we'll give you everything we have. I mean, we gave them salt and flour and one can of beans, whatever was in that pantry, not even worth calling food, packed it in a box and said, God bless it and feed them something. And we had nothing. And we sat down with our son and our son-in-law, future son-in-law, and we said, okay, now you get to see the power of God, because I have yet to see the righteous begging for food. And pulled a van loaded with food, stocked us up with more food than I've ever bought in one grocery shopping trip in my life. God is able.
Right.
Only God is able.
Amen.
You know, I don't like to be in a house alone at night. I don't mind dying. I just mind the process of dying, you know? I don't really want to go through being stabbed or shot or beaten or, you know, all those things that lead up to the death. I don't mind getting to heaven. I don't like all that pain. So I don't really like it when my husband's not home. But you know, the truth of it is, he can't stop bullets. And if the boogeyman broke in, he's the first one they're going to shoot to get him out of the way. He's not my safety. A lot of us trust in our husband. He's got a job. He'll step in front of that and he'll take it. Yeah, he will, but he's not invincible. He could get hit by a car tomorrow. Your job could be gone tomorrow. Everything could be gone tomorrow. But they can't shoot God. And they can't take away His bankroll.
Right.
My God is sufficient. And He can always take care of us. There is no other way to live but the life He created you for. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. We always think about that verse, search me, O God, know my heart. But what about try me and know my thoughts? You know, when you try somebody, it comes to your thoughts. Because you might say, well, I have a good heart. I really love God. I love my family. I have given God my life and I'm here this morning and I'm okay. God searches my heart, and maybe He doesn't find real sin. He finds I have a heart that truly loves Him. But where I get tried is when I ask myself, what am I thinking about? Where are my thoughts? Am I really on the path of God's plans for my life, or are all my thoughts consumed with my plans for my life? Try me, God, and know my thoughts. Has God tried your plans? Has he tried your thoughts? And have you found them to be based on his ways or your own? Are they shallow, temporary, emotional, needy desires? Or are the plans of your life set on what God has shown you he has for your life? Is that your goal? Is that your purpose? Is that where you're trying to go? And then are you yielding it to God to find out how to get there? Sometimes we say, okay, God's called me to start this church. And then we just run ahead and do everything we can think of we think would make a good church. Instead of slowing down and saying, how? One step at a time, God, how? My life is extremely busy. God has given everybody different personalities, different giftings. And for some reason, he gave me a multifunctioning, super busy brain. My brain, I sit down in the morning and I will think through a plan, and I'll think through another one, I'll think through another one, another one. I categorize everything. I'll fill my book up with 20 pages of plans in one morning for 20 directions of life. And I believe that's God. But I have to be really careful, because if I start thinking, I want to do this and I could do that, and I want to do this and I could do that, if I don't stop and say, God, is that what you want me to do? When and how? And sometimes he says, I like this one, but let's shelf it for now. I like that one, but I need to get some people in place. Let's put it over here. And we put some of them away. And then you'll say, you thought this one up on your own. Let's trash it. Bring all your thoughts before him and ask him.
Yes.
Ask him. If I didn't do that, I would go crazy, because I have so many thoughts running through my... I drive my husband crazy when he comes out in the morning. He's like, okay, let me get coffee, or let me get my tea. I'm not quite ready for your shotgun of thoughts yet, you know, because I bombard him. I will talk about one thing, and while he's trying to figure it out, I've gone three other places. Just listen to my morning on Friday morning this week, some of the things that I thought. I'm not going to give you the details, because that would take 20 pages, but the headline of some of the things I was thinking about Friday morning. We need administration in this church. We need organization, all the way from scheduling our teachers in every category down to a checklist for supplies for cleaning. Who's going to clean? When? How? And do we have supplies for that? Ladies meeting, inner healing, Sunday morning teaching. I would like to have the church open some nights for family nights, game nights, kids nights, lady nights, tea party. I would like to have, I need to plan my family Christmas. It'll be here this year at my house. And we have an auction, a lot of planning, because we have about 50 people at our Christmas. I need to organize my house. I brought in all the supplies from the big wedding cake we made, and they're all sitting in my dresser and laundry room. But I also have my house full of clothes that were brought in for the resale. I need to price them, bring them, shelf them. Leadership meeting, usher training, teachers meeting, train. I want to start having kids' church, and we need to train for that and plan for that. Lots of pages on that one. Watchmen, greeters, I need to pay the bills for the store, for the church, for home. Need to make, I made that giant wedding cake, that one's gone. My grandson would like me to paint a picture for him for his birthday. I need to do laundry, grocery shop, plan dinners, trying to get healthier. Oh, there's this list of phone calls that I haven't returned. And then I have some counseling and emergency things that come in on the phone we have to deal with. Oh, I sat there and last Sunday morning I had a little plan for a play. I'd like to write that play, find the cast, make the costumes, and call some rehearsals. Write a book, tracts, pamphlets, Christmas shopping. And, of course, I want to get very close to God, so I have to have a couple hours a day where I read, I pray, and talk with God and just give him time to go over these plans. Now, the verse in Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." How do I deal with that life and be in peace? Because the minute I go, God, I'm just bringing it all to you, my whole spirit just relaxes. Now, God gave me a multitasking, multifunctioning, busy bee brain and life, but you know what else he gave me? The gift of peace. He gave me the gift of peace. And I can't take one step until I'm in peace. So I bring it all and lay it down and say, baby step me, God. Baby step me through this. Which thing first? Which thing right now? Which thing this morning? And you know what he said this morning? Oh, let's put them all aside and let's just talk about my thoughts. And let's just get this ready for this morning and don't think about the rest of it right now. And very peacefully and calmly, he began to bring these scriptures to mind for today. So when we walk with him, he not only can multitask, but he does it peacefully and thoroughly and wonderfully and joyfully. When you start getting stressed, fearful, overwhelmed, it's because you're not living in the unity, in the presence of God, in the peace anymore. Every time I say, God, you've given me too much to do, his answer is, here's one more. Here's one more thing for you. And I go, I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm going to quit saying I have too much. When am I going to smarten up and quit telling him that, you know? But he pushed me to my max because I had to get to my max before I realized I couldn't do it.
There you go.
Before I realized, I grew up a multitasker before I knew God. So I thought I could do that. I'm organized. I can do it. God gave me more than I could do so that I learned. I don't want to do it in the flesh. I want to do it in the peace of God.
Right.
And I want to be sure it's what he's doing. I might have an idea, but my idea is this big and his is massively bigger on that same thing. I want his plan.
Right.
I want his power behind those ideas. When God takes all of your thoughts and gives you his, your peace and your joy will come. Your stress, your worry is gone. You know, even if he told you you were going to die, you'd come to peace about it.
Right.
I prayed for my mom's dear friend. She was in the hospital with cancer. And I didn't think she should die. She was in her 40s. She was a witness. She was a Sunday school teacher. And I said, I'm going up to that hospital. God told me that the spirit of death that comes to take people is his enemy. He doesn't like him. He said, stop just giving in to him. Stand up to him. I said, okay, I'm going. I'm going to the hospital and I'm going to go and tell death, you're not taking Mary. And God said, no, you're not, because Mary's coming home today. She is going to die today. So just go up and tell her that you love her and that I'm waiting for her and it'll be fine. See, you can only do what God's doing. But if God said, Mary is not going to die today, and we walked in and said to that devil, you are not taking her, he couldn't take her.
Right.
He'd have to obey God.
Right.
So when you walk with God in God's peace, you accept everything because there's a purpose. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Exactly.
There is a purpose for everything he allows in your life. And when you see it that way, I might not like it, but it's forming the character of Christ in me. There's a greater glory in God, and it's about eternity, not here. Now, I lost a baby. We have a baby boy in heaven. No, he's grown up, because you can't be a baby for 35 years. You got to grow up, you know. But we lost a baby boy. I didn't understand. But later, as God showed me, there was a purpose. There was a purpose he wanted me to be the mother to birth that boy. There was a purpose he took him to heaven as a baby. There was a purpose that God himself wanted to raise that baby in heaven himself. But there's still a purpose that I'm the mom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Women that have abortions on purpose have loosed their connection with that baby. And they need to go and say, God, please forgive me. That's my baby, and I want to rebind that connection and accept my baby. So when I go to heaven, I can say, I'm your mommy. God showed me a lot of things. I can't show you scripture, but God showed me a lot of things in the healing and the loss of my son. And he showed me that it's important to those babies that moms and dads here love them.
Right.
It's important to them. They look forward to meeting them.
Yep.
But God has a purpose. I did not lose my son. He's alive.
Right.
He's grown up. He's a man. And God raised him. And I will see him again.
Right.
He just moved.
Right.
He just moved. He doesn't live in my house. He still lives in my heart. and I will go where he is.
Right.
King David, when he lost a baby, said, I cannot bring him where I am, but I can go where he is.
Right.
When I die, I go to him and meet with him. Well, sometimes you have grown-up sons, some of you, and they live in a different state, don't they? Some of you have sons that live over in Afghanistan fighting a war. They don't live here with you, but you don't consider you've lost them. Our loved ones just moved.
Right.
They just moved to a better place. We need to accept everything, and then we'll live in peace with God.
Yep.
Why chase impossible dreams when you can live the possible dream? A very possible dream. Something that's impossible to humans, but very easy for God. The life he planned for you. The life he designed for you. The life he will empower and back for you is yours. How foolish we are to think, but I want to do what I want to do. It's not a good end to that road. God isn't boring. God's exciting.
Yes.
He's creative. He's funny. God is funny. He has a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
He's compassionate. He's good. He's powerful. Why don't people want to live for him? I'm so thankful. I think there's about 8 people that came forward this morning to give their lives fully surrendered. Praise God for that. Now it begins. If you didn't come, then you need to come. Even maybe you've given God your life, but maybe your thoughts keep side trailing off into your ways. Just bring it all back today. Bring it all back and give it back to him this morning. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. We invite your word to come inside of us. And we know that if we invite your word in, that it will do what you sent it to do. It will not return to you empty, void. But it will awaken us, God. It will implant seeds that can grow. So, God, we open ourselves and we say, plant your word. Speak your word in me. Show me what your thoughts are for me. And I will go your way, God. I want oneness with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Close your eyes for a second. What's God doing in your heart right now? You just heard through God's word, you just heard God's heart for you, God's plan for you. What's in your mind right now? What's God doing inside of you, inside your heart? When we come to church, when we read our Bible, when we hear a preaching or a teaching on the truths of God, when we hear it, now we're responsible for what we just heard. Like Sue, she just gave forth what God wanted her to say. Now God is saying, what are you going to do with it? The reason at this time of the service that we invite people to come up here to the altar and pray is for you to have a time of making a decision. After we prayed with these that came forward earlier, and I was sitting here in the chair, I was thinking, Lord, I wished I would have had each one of them bow their knees, just get down on their knees, and just say, God, I commit my life to you. So if you came forward earlier, maybe you want to just do this right now. God, I commit my life to you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to have the steering wheel. I want to know you. I want to trust you. I choose to trust you. I want to learn how to love you the way you want to be loved. To love you like you love me, unconditionally, eternally. Lord, I want to enter into your life, your way. I want to walk with you every day. Not visit you on Sunday or whenever I go to church. I want to walk with you, 24/7. I want you to become my best friend. I want you to, as I'm walking down the road or driving my car, I'm going to talk to you. Practice your presence as if you're right next to me, because you are. Your word says you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And to include you in all my thoughts, all my plans, all my conversations. Lord, I want to learn to live Jesus. And I just say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me and calling me and desiring me. I just want to say something because it's on my heart. I've been praying for those that come here. There's a number of you that don't even know God yet. You know about God. Maybe you come here because you're loved, or we accept you, whatever. But you don't know God yet. And then there's some of you, see, we just want to help you to meet Jesus. For me, up until 1976, it was kind of like the calendar. It was BC. It was before Christ. I didn't have Jesus in my life. I'd gone to church. I heard things about Him. But I didn't know God from a chair. I did not know Him. I had not met Him. But when I met Him, my life started. Before that, I existed. When I met Him, my life began. That's why I keep talking about it. July 1st, 1976, 7:55 p.m. on a Thursday. I can't never forget when I met Jesus. My whole life started, and it started with Jesus Christ. And I fell madly in love with Him and was just so amazed at how much He loved me and believed in me and wanted me and cared about me so much that He left His home, His house. He humbled Himself. And then He died on that cross as if it was me. Here, give me what Harvey deserves. And it killed him. And I've just never gotten over that. It's been 36 years for me, and I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I would love. There's a number of you I've been able to introduce to Jesus. But there's more that come that don't know Him yet. I want to introduce you to Jesus. And then there's those of you who know Him, but you're not walking with Him. You're in and out of His presence, in and out of His will. Your life's hard. You don't have peace. Got all these problems because you're trying to do life without Jesus. And it'll never work. I'm just going to say it again. You can exist without God. But you can't live without Jesus. You can exist, but not live. God brought you into our life. I pray for you. I care about you. You're on my heart. I want to help you get closer to Jesus. God has a plan. He has a way. And every journey begins with a single step. All you have to do is make the choice that you want Jesus. We're going to give an invitation right now. If you want Jesus, you want to come back to Him, you want to meet Him, I'm asking you to come forward right now. I'd like to introduce you to Jesus. I'll just stand right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to know Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I want to know Him. Maybe you're somebody who wants to come closer to Jesus. I want to walk with you. I don't want to just visit you on Sunday. I want you, Jesus, in my life. I want to be closer. I want to live consistently with you, Jesus. I want to live consistently. I need you. I need you desperately. Is that you? Come forward. Come forward. God's given an invitation. Come forward. Hey, Tom or Nate, one of y'all, who's ever out here, if anybody's out here, maybe you're not. Where's Nate? Play some music or something, would you? Play some music, would you? Now, what I'm going to do is we're going to talk and pray with these people. What are they? Top two verses. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where is this? Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Father, I'm releasing everybody here. They could have fellowship, hang around as much as they want. I hope they get 3 or 4 hugs before they get out of here and just get loved on. I'm asking you to keep them safe. Bless them as they go. Keep them safe, Lord. But Lord, we're ending the service for them right now, and we're releasing people to go. But I'm asking that each one, that you would pursue them, Father. You would pursue each one in this room like flesh. I'm talking about like skin on their body. Get all over them like white on rice. Just help them to think about the things that were said today. And Lord, that they would receive that inside of them and meditate on that and not get distracted with television and all the affairs of this world. But Lord, would think on those things. And allow you to do a work in their heart. And Lord, my desire is that you would bless each one and their families and protect and provide for them as if they were Jesus Himself. Thank you, Father. Love you. I love you.